Or is there a rule of tzaddik l'ishrei leiv simcha? Or is there a rule of tzaddik l'ishrei leiv simcha? Is the way that we enter into Yom HaKadosh. It's brought down in the Sefer Or Zeruah. Or is there a rule of tzaddik l'ishrei leiv simcha? Is the Sefer Tevis, the last letters, spelled Rabbi Akiva. Akiva can be spelled with an aleph or a hey. It's a question when it comes to Gittin and Tiksubas, how to spell Akiva. Are there any Akivas over here? Yeah? You spell it with an aleph or a hey? It's usually spelled with an aleph. Or is it will atzadik yul yishrei leiv simcha? Is Rabbi Akiva. Om Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechim Yisrael. Lifnei mi atem etarim, umi metahir eschem, avichim shabashamay. I was thinking about a minig Yisrael. All of our minhagim come from the highest place. A Jew who is mevatel himself to keep every minig that he's able to with emuna pshuta comes from keser, from the crown, from the highest place of emuna. There's so many minhagim we don't understand. One of the interesting minhagim that we have by this time of the year, by the tefillas of Yom Neroim, is that the shliach tzibur, the chazan, when it comes time to begin shachris for Hamelach, Pesukei Dezimra is winding down, and we're transitioning to Kishma and the rest of the davening Shemoneh Esrei. So the minig is that the shliach tzibur doesn't go right away to the Omud. He doesn't go right away to the place that is kavua for Tvila, but rather in the place that he's in, where he is. The Baal Tvila calls out HaMelech from that place. Not all Kehilas, certainly by the Svardim. Are the Svardim here? So there are different Kehilas of Svardim. Most don't have such a minig. But by Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim have this minig, is that the Baal Tvila doesn't go yet to the Amud, but where he's standing in his place, he calls out HaMelech. And after he says HaMelech, the king, then he heads towards the Omud to continue Yoyeshev HaKisei Ramvanis. To understand the reason for this, it seems to be an odd thing. There's a mokum that's miyuchad and that's kavua for the Baal Tefila, which is the Omud. And it's strange that he should begin from his own place. So let's go back to the beginning of Yom Kippur. With the Sherish of Yom Kippur, you all know. The Sherish of Yom Kippur is in the aftermath of the Chet Egel. As a result of the Chet Egel, there was a terrible, terrible Gzeirah that was hovering over us. And because of the Ishtadlus of Moshe Rabbeinu, Schosovis, and so on, finally, the Baruch Shalom said, Misalachti Kedvarech. V'nislach el chol adas b'nei Yisrael, the way we begin Yom Kippur, v'salachti kitvarecha, after the chet ha'egel. That's the sherish of Yom Kippur in Chumash. The tachlis of our lives is contained in that one word, hamelach. Hamelach. Our avoda in this world is lahamlich as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to draw down and to reveal Hashem's malchus in this world. Ta'ir eretz mikveidecha, that the whole world should be illuminated, should be shining with that reality of the malchus of Hashem's baruch, of Hamelach. There are two ways to reveal Hamelach. It happens in two ways. I'm afraid to call the first way lechatchila, but we certainly sense that it's lechatchila. The first way is when you have a Jew who's a tzaddik. He has uprooted from his heart any trace of a desire to establish his own kingdom as opposed to Hashem's kingdom. He's an Amadrega. There are very few people like this, but he's an Amadrega of Bnei Yisrael when we came to Har Sinai before the first Luchas, at that time of the first Luchas of Kabbal Satayra, which Chazal described as Pasko Zuhum Asam, that the Zuhum of the filth that was infused in mankind as a result of the snake began Eden Mikedem, Pasko Zuhum Asam. That we came to such a madrega of Adam, Kaidim Achet, of Adam before the sin. The Lashonis that we find there in the Gemara and Shabbos and in other places in Chazal to describe where we were at that time, the level of Nikius, of Tahara, that we were on. Chorus al Haluchos, all of you know, Chorus al Tikri, Chorus what? Ella? Chorus, engraved on the Luchos that the Ratzon Hashem was engraved mamish through and through. Ad kedei kach that al tikri chorus al cheirus, that we were free from the Malach HaMavos. It was the end of death. We were free from the from that darkness of the snake, of the nachash, of the Malach HaMavos, of the Yetzirah. Such a person of the Luchas Rishainas, of the first Luchas, a person on that level of Pascha Zuhu Masai, like David Melch said about himself, Libi Cholol Bekirbi, that David Melch's heart, the time that he was already older, that he emptied out his heart completely of any of the venom of the snake. Libi Cholol Bekirbi. It's an inyan of Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak is the Oisei Sayyid, is a Tzadik, a Chassid HaKadosh. It's Yitzchak. There's such a madrega of a Jew. They're few and far apart. A Jew of the first Luchas, Pascha Zuhu Masa, Noki Vitar. Obviously, every step that this person takes in his life is screaming out Hamelach. Is screaming out Hamelach. When you look at his face, when you watch the way that he eats, everything about him is Hamelach. Tohi Eretz Mekvedach. A person like that lives in that way of Ha'elukim Osa Asa Adam Yosha, like Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelet. Ha'elukim Osa Asa Adam Yosha, that Hashem Zbach made Adam Yosha, the Yashas. The natural intuitive state of a human being is Yosha. Unfortunately, in life, there's the Hema Bikshu Chishbainis Rab. We get lost. And we lose our way, and we lose that Yashus. So this first kind of a Jew, the Tzaddik, is a Jew of the first Luchas, Pascha Zuhu Masai, HaMelech, Asha Osa Lekim Asa Adam Yasha. It's hard for us to relate to a person like that. We admire, we're in awe, but it's hard for us to relate. Such a person does not need v'salachti kivarecha. He's not in need of Hashem nebagad negozan al divrei nedofi. He's not in need of al chetshech haton. He's living a life the way that Hashem Yisbaruch intended for him to live. And although, of course, ein adam v'zashiyasa toiv le'achta, there's nobody that's reached can reach perfection. Even Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'techasrei ma'at me'elokim, even Moshe Rabbeinu, v'v'chol zois. There are these tzaddikim who they live in that world of tahara, of nikius, and they're not in the parsha of v'nislach l'chol adas b'nei Yisrael or v'salach dikidvarech. Now let's talk more about people like ourselves. The second type of a Jew, remember we're talking about two ways of revealing Hashem's malchus. The second type of a Jew lives in that reality that's called Cheshbonis Rabim. Confusion. He lives in a world of Cheshbonis Rabim. This is a Jew who succumbed to the Chetah Egel. And now as well, during the course of the year, this Jew knows himself better than anybody else, that he too danced around the eagle this past year. Whatever that eagle means in his life, he's not free of the poison of the snake, of the nachash. He's not a ben chorin. The tzaddik that we spoke about before is chorus al halucha, is cheirus, he's free from the yetzar, free from the malacham avos. He's not attracted to the filth of the world, the tzaddik. He's not attracted to the ugliness of the world. His hands don't shake, you know, by the smartphone at 2 in the morning when no one's watching. His hands don't shake. He doesn't have to hold himself back from pressing any buttons that could lead to a place where a Jew doesn't belong. Tzaddik is not in that parasha. But the second kind of a Jew lives in a cheshbonos rav, and therefore he is not free of the snake. He is not a ben chayr. He's not free of it. There are moments in his life where after a good day of learning, if there's a good davening, and he is able to be strong, to be misgavin, and certainly saw in the test, that he feels for the moment, paskel zuhamasi, that the filth has disappeared. Sometimes it can even last for a day or two, or even a bit longer. But the nature of this person's life, which is most of us, is that the zuhama, the filth of the snake, has a way of creeping back into his life. There are marriages like this as well. There are two types of marriages, without going into that whole sugya, which is a big sugya, but there are marriages where it's more simple and sweet, more luchas vishayinus type. And then you have stormy marriages that are filled with turbulence. People that love each other but hurt each other all the time and are constantly asking for forgiveness, hopefully asking for forgiveness, and they have a life that consists of reconciliations, and in between the reconciliations there are fights, and then there are some good days, there are some bad days, but they're desperately in need of the Selachti Kedvarach. They're desperately in need of Nislach HaChol Das Bnei Yisrael. They're desperately in need of Yom Kippur. Now, remember the Tachlis is Gilui Kvayt Shamai. HaMelech, that's the Tachlis. It's obvious and clear that when we're speaking about the Tzaddik is, like we say about Rabbi Shimon in the Piyut, Or Muflo Rumayla. The light of the Tzaddik is the light of Hashem in this world. The question is, what Kovod Shemayim, what HaMelech is Mizgala by the second person, by the second more common type of a Jew, the one who is in need of Mechalon Slachlon Mechalon Kaperlon, the second Jew of Hashem the Bagad. What Kvod HaMalchus is revealed through this second person? The beginning of our Golus, the first time that we were sent out of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem Yisboch gave us a Navi, Yecheskel HaNavi. Yecheskel HaNavi said about himself, V'ani B'soich HaGoyla. He was the Navi who was sent to be with us in Golos. And that means that if it was back then, that there's this Koach of Yecheskel, the name Yecheskel means Chizuk, that the Navi Yecheskel is sent to the Jew always, whenever a person's in Golos, is Vani B'soich HaGoyla. And then the Navi goes on, Pasuk goes on, it's in the third parak of Yecheskel, to tell us, Hashem Yisboch says to Yecheskel, V'leich ben Odom al HaGoyla. That title of ben Odom, which is Yecheskeldik, is very interesting. It's very much tied into what we're learning right now, but there's no time to go into that. Hashem is Baruch says to Yechezkel, V'leich ben Adam el Hagoyla, you son of man. In that sentence, in those words, in that description, son of man, we hear how fragile a person is, son of man. V'leich ben Adam el Hagoyla. And then the Navi goes on and describes, Yechezkel says, V'tisa'eni ruach v'shma harai kol rash godl. Those are familiar words from Kedusha. V'tisa'eni ruach v'shma harai kol, I was lifted by a ruach, v'shma harai, and I heard from behind me kol rash godl. The sound of tremendous news. Baruch shem kvayt Hashem mim kaimai. Baruch kvayt Hashem mim kaimai. So if you look there in the Radak, again, it's in the third parak of Yechezkel, parak Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis. If you look there in the Radak, there's this great commotion and this great noise that Yechezkel hears. V'shma harai kol rash godel, and from within that commotion, that noise, the words are heard. Baruch Vayit Hashem Mim Kaimai. The Radak says that this is the Shechina that follows a Jew into Galus. The Radak says that Mim Kaimai means that the Shechina is far from the Kodesh Kedoshim, far from her place by the Kapiris, by the Kruvim, by the Kodesh Kedoshim. And Yechezkel is astonished that here in this miserable dark place of Bavel, Al Naharos Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, Gam Bachinu, that in this miserable place of Ani B'Sai HaGayla, in this place of a rash godel, of tremendous noise and turbulence and confusion, from within all of that, the Navi is able to hear Baruch Kvayt Hashem. Baruch Kvayt Hashem, where? Mim Kaimi, which the Dak says, Mim Kaimi means far from her home. The Shechina now is not in Yerushalayim. As Chazal tells us, the Shechina packed up and went with us. Imaynechi b'tzara, b'shechanti, b'tzaycha means, even in that state of Tumah that we were in Golus, the Shechina came with us. Hashoych and Iton b'tzaych Tumasa, that the Shechina came with us into Bavel. It means that you have a Jew who's far from Yerushalayim, was far from the Madrega of the Tzaddik, the first Luchos. And he's able to hear from the place that he's in, he's able to hear Baruch Vayit Hashem Mim Kaimai, which there are those who learn that Mim Kaimai means from the place that that he's in, from where Yechezkel was in. Not the place of the Shechina, the regular station of the Shechina, which is near Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, but Baruch Vayit Hashem Mim Kaimai, where the person is. So this chaver is the chiddush of the second kind of a Jew, the Jew of Yom Kippur, of Salachti Kidvarecha. There's a chiddush of Gilui Kvayt Hashem, of Baruch Kvayt Hashem Mimkoymai, from the place where the person is. The avodah that we describe in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, of Yishmu Rechaikim V'Yavo, that even those who are far away from Hashem, they return to Him. V'Yitn Lucha Keser Melucha, which the Zohar HaKadosh says that the encrowning of Hashem that takes place by Jews who are far from Him, Mimkoymai Jews, not first Luchas Jews, not the tzaddik that never sinned, but the flawed person, the person who struggles, Bim Kaimai, in his place. Yishmu Rechaikim V'Yavo, those who are far away will come near, V'Yitn L'Hakesem Malucha, and they will place the crown upon Hashem's head. Which the Zohar says that this is the greatest and crowning of Hashem, and even those who are far. Because the Zohar says that a person who lives in the palace is not the greatest chachma to be able to be in awe and to connect to the king. To say hamelech when you live with the melech is not, it's great, but it's not the same as a person who's so far, far, far from the melech and has done so many things in his life to remove himself from the perils. Uvecholzois, this person is able to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the place that he's in. And the place that he's in is post Cheta Egel. Whatever that person's Egel is, it's after his own Cheta Egel. And he's now living in the Rash Godel. The Rash Godel, you know, when I was growing up, we had television. There was only a couple of us. There was 2, 4, 5, 7, 9. Everybody said they were watching Channel 13. I only knew like one person that watched Channel 13. Channel 11, there were a lot of reruns, I remember. Superman was on Channel 11. The Rash, we had Rash back then. I'm talking about 50 years ago, 60 years ago. There was Rash. But it can't be compared to the Rash of Tavshin Ayin Ches, the noise of Tavshin Ayin Ches, the volume of Tavshin Ayin Ches. And of course, I'm not talking about Stam noise. The distractions, the snake, the Nachash, what's out there, what's on the street, what's surrounding us, the Rash Godel. And after Cheta Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu asked on behalf of Am Yisrael, Hareini Nas Kavidecha. It means there's such a Jew who, even though he is Bim Kaimai, which is far from Yerushalayim, not just physically, but far from Yerushalayim in his life, he has sinned with the Egel. He has tasted of the, and he tastes of the poison of the venom of the snake. In that place of Rash Godel, he still is Vatisaini Ruach. He's able to find moments in his life where he's uplifted by that Ruach, and he's able to hear in the place that he's in, Baruch Kavayit Hashem. Regarding this, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, the Pasuk, this is the Pshat in the Pasuk, Im Yeh Lidachacha B'Ktzei HaShemayim, Misham Yikabeshcha Hashem Elokecha, U'Misham Yikachecha. This is a Jew who lives B'Ktzei HaShemayim. B'Ktzei HaShemayim doesn't mean outer space. It means he's on the very edge of anything that's spiritual, far from the center of spirituality. Im Yeh Nidachacha B'Ktzei HaShemayim, Misham Yikabeshcha Hashem Elokecha. From there Hashem will take you and bring you back. Misham Yikachecha. So maybe now we could begin to understand this minhag that began in Golos. This is not an Eretz Yisrael digger minhag. The minhag that began b'soich ha-goyla, that the Shliach Tzibur calls out HaMelech mimkomo, from the place that he's in. He calls out HaMelech from the place that he's in, not by the Omid. The Tzaddik lives by the Omid. The Tzaddik lives by Kedusha. He's Kavua in that place of Kedusha. But the second Luchos Jew, the Yom Kippur is a Luchos Shnius. The Yom Kippur Jew, the Jew of a Salachti Kedvarecha, who lives in the Rash Godel and is begging Hashem Vatisaini Ruach, in the Rash Godel that I'm in, help me to become somehow uplifted and to hear you, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mim Koimai. So that person screams out HaMelech from the place that he's in. What does this have to do with Rabbi Akiva? You know that Rabbi Akiva taught there was a machlokes by the Chachamim whether or not Shir HaShirim should become part of Kisvei HaKodesh, because it's going to be easily misinterpreted and misunderstood, which of course it has been. The story is a story that on the surface is a story of a young man, a young woman, a prince, a princess, whatever, a shulamis. And there are words there and phrases that lend themselves to misinterpretation. But Rabbi Akiva won the day, as you all know, and as the Mishnah says in Yadayim, Rabbi Akiva on that day said, Kol HaShirim Kodesh, but Shir HaShirim is what? Kodesh Kedoshim. Kodesh Kedoshim means it's the Bechin of Kodesh Kedoshim, which is Yom Kippur. Lifnai v'liftim. Kol HaShirim Kodesh. And Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kedoshim. And what is it about Shir HaShirim that makes it Kodesh Kedoshim? That's a big Inyan. We could die to learn Rav Kook's introduction to Shir HaShirim. But what is it about Shir HaShirim in Rabbi Kiva's eyes to try to understand on our level? The whole story of Shir Hashim is a story of searching, of looking. At the end of Shir Hashim, it's Brach Daidi. Throughout the Sefer, throughout the Megillah, they're almost together. But then it just doesn't work out. So when we look, Kol Daidi, Daifek Pischi Li, the voice of my beloved is calling out, Pischi Li, open up for me. And sometimes Shalach Daidi Shalach Yodom Nachar, Daidi Shalach Yodom Nachar, she could see the hand, Daidi Shalach Yodom Nachar, coming through the opening of the door. And Umei Homo Alavna, I'm longing for him. But then Kamti Ani Leftar, she takes a little bit long getting up and out. Kamti Ani Leftar Le Daidi, and in the meantime, what happened? Daidi Chamak Avar. That the beloved disappears, chamak avar. The whole story of Shir Hashir. Akumana vasoivava bi'ir, beshvokim uberuchayvus. I lift myself up, akumana, like v'tesa'eni ruach. Akumana vasoivava bi'ir, beshvokim uberuchayvus. And I go looking around, searching the marketplaces, the streets. Avaksha esh ahava nafsh, to seek the love of my soul. It's the story of our lives. We're journeying around the whole world. We think we're looking for this, we think we're looking for that. But then it dawns on us that what really we're looking for more than anything is the Shahava Nafshi. Bekashtiv v'loy metzasef. It's heartbreaking. Shir Hashir. Bekashtiv, I searched for him, v'loy metzasef. So a Jew like this, with Bekashtiv v'loy metzasef, comes once again to these days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And he tries to be mechazik himself, to believe that every single word that he says in the machzor is very, very dear to Hashem. Every minig, tashlich, and kaparis, and so on, all the slichesen are dear to Hashem as baruch. Every ishtadlis of kamti ani leftorach ledodi, everything that I'm doing, that I get up in the morning to go daven a few minutes early, is kamti ani leftorach ledodi. Akumano v'esoveva avakshish ahava nafshi. This person is mechazik himself with Hamelach, with being able to feel Hamelach bimkomo, in the place that he's in. Screaming out Hamelach, not by the Omer, but screaming out Hamelach from the back of the shul someplace. From the matzav that he's in, or the story that I told you, here some of the Bocher might remember, some of the Chevah might remember, about a chassidish, a friend of mine, who was able to get down to ground zero. Erev Rosh Hashanah, he called me from ground zero, that when it happened, the year that it happened, which is, we're talking about a few days after it happened. Because it happened Slichas, right? That's when it happened. It was the Chofetz Chaim's yard site. It was when it happened. The World Trade Center. And this friend of mine called me. It was around 3 o'clock, 3:30, Erev Rosh Hashanah. And I hear Arash Godel on the phone. And he said, Motcha, where are you? Where are you? It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. And it didn't sound like he was calling from the mikveh. So where are you? So he said, I'm in ground zero. So in those days it was very hard to get there. He's an interesting fellow. He knows how to get places. So he got down to ground zero. I don't know how. He's not a reporter and he's not any official, but he's an enikel of the Baal Shem Tov. So he got down there. So I asked him, what are you doing over there? It's almost Yom Tov. So he said, I had this cheshek. I spent the entire day, it took him from the morning to get down there. I just wanted to come to this place and to scream at Hamelach in this place, that's all. I wanted to come to this place that's called Ground Zero, this terrible low place, and to scream at Hamelach, even in this place. Baruch Kved Hashem Mim Koimai. Reshma Acharai Kol Raash Godel. Baruch Kved Hashem Mim Koimai. See, this is what Rabbi Akiva had such a great fondness. One of the reasons he had such a great fondness for Shir Hashirim, because it's the search. It's the story of his own life. As you know, that for him, it wasn't easy. And he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu bimkomo, in his place. It was very hard. Without going through the story that you're all familiar with Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, when we enter into Yom Kippur, which is V'salachti Kivarecha, V'nislach L'chol Adas B'nei Yisrael, on a mispalim im habiryonim, im avrayonim rather, on a matirim lispalil im ha'avrayonim. Now historically, who were the avrayonim? Okay, that everybody knows, and you can look into that. But we understand we ourselves are avrayonim over the course of the year. We ourselves that have been over many things. Rabbi Kiva's name is hinted at in Orzuwa Latzadu Galisha Leif Simcha, the Sefer Teva spell Akiva, because Rabbi Kiva was a Jew of Shira Shirma, being Kodesh Kadoshim, even though you're still in that state of Akumanova Saiva Bashvakim Baburuchaivas, even though you're in a place of Doidi Chomak Avar, that you have only moments in your life where you're able to connect to the Shechina, where you feel that closest to Hashem. But then you turn around and you find yourself once again in the cesspool of the Zuhama, of the snake. And Rabbi Kiva had a special feeling for Jews like this because of where he came from, because of his life. And the same Rabbi Kiva said, Om Rabbi Kiva, Ashrechem Yisrael lifnei miyatim etarem, umi mitahar eschem, avichem shuv shemayim. Because Rabbi Kiva saw that in every effort that you and I make, the second kind of a Jew, not the first Jew, but tzaddik is something else. The Or Zerur LaTzaddik, who plants that light of the Tzaddik and tries to tend to it and to develop it over the years, and there are good days and there are bad days. Rabbi Kiva saw in the life of that person that every single effort that he makes, that she makes, every effort to fight off the Raj Gadol of this world and to remember who I am and why I'm here is to be Mamelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Malchus Hashem Tar Etz Mikvedecha. To Rabbi Kiva, these are Jews of Kodesh Kadosh. The tzaddikim are kodesh, but these Jews are kodesh kadosh. They're the holiest of holies. Our generation is kodesh kadosh. The young man who succumbs to the snake and then battles with it and pulls himself out, v'tesaini ruach, and is able to be strong to go learning, davening a few days, a few weeks, and he pushes himself, and then he slips back into that. And he tries again from the place that he's in to scream out HaMelech, Baruch Kvayt Hashem Mim Kaima. Baruch Kvayt Hashem is a gewaldige gilui kvayt HaMalchus. From that place, like the Novi Yirmiyah says, Mirochayk Hashem Nirali. From a distance, Hashem still appears to me. Mirochayk Hashem Nirali. The Baruch Shalom has a gewaldige nachasua from such Jews. This is what Rabbi Kiva is talking about. I'll tell you two little stories. You know, there are many stories that we have of the Kedushas Levi. Schussi Gerlein is a very big Indian even to say his name all year round, but especially now to say Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Ben Sarah Sasha. When the Baruch Shalom hears that name, there's all kinds of Ashpos. Hashem Zboch starts to laugh when he hears that name. You know, my wife told me an unbelievable thing yesterday. She was looking up the name Sasha, Sarah Sasha. That was the B'ditch of his mother's name, was Sarah Sasha. So she looked on the computer for the name, and it's a Russian name, Sasha. It's a derivative, apparently. It originates from the word Alexander, or a woman, Alexandra. But on the computer, it translated. You could check this yourselves. On the computer, it's translated as "defender of man." That Sasha means defender of man. So that was the Kedushas Levi. The Remdiker was the one who defended, as you all know. That was the B'ditch of his whole Indian. So his mother's name was Sasha, and Sasha means to defend, defender of man. So there are many stories that we have from the Holy B'ditch from Yom Kippur. How he was made Litzi Yoshua on Jews, what he did, his tefillahs. So one of the famous stories is that it was time for Kol Nidre, and he was already getting very late, and people saw something was wrong because he wasn't starting Kol Nidre, and he looked very agitated, and they knew that it must be that something was wrong, seriously wrong, and that there was some, God forbid, some gezeira, and the B'ditcha was fighting. There was a milchama going on. And then all of a sudden the B'ditcheva threw his talis off and he ran out of shul. Before Kol Nidre, he ran out of shul. and the Olam was shocked, and they were just waiting. They wouldn't begin without him. And he was going on the street, and he went and he saw in the candles, in the, he saw in the window that there was a woman that was sitting. And he was wondering why she wasn't at Kol Nidre. And he went over there and he knocked, and she was very shaken to see the Badishva. And the Rebbe said, if you have a little baby, if you can't go to davening, so come, we'll take the baby, it'll be okay. And she said, because she was wearing a tichel. So the Badishva thought that she's married and she has a child. She says, no, I'm not married. So then the Badishva says, so then why don't you come to shul? It's Kol Nidre. So come to shul. So he said, I'm not wanted over there. So the Badishva says, what do you mean you're not wanted? Every Jew is wanted. You have to come. Of course you want. Why do you say such a thing that you're not wanted? And why do you go like that if you're not married? What do you have on your head? What is it? So she said that she was a Yosemite orphan. She was orphaned when she was very little. And she had a brother. It was the two of them. They didn't have parents. And she said that they had a job. They were working for a pirates, for a landowner, as many Jews did, on a farm. And the son of the pirates, she said, took a liking to me. It was, became like a meshuggah for her. She said he was always talking to me about going off with him. And this is the source of our, this was where we lived, this is what we ate. And he was making threats that if I don't go with him, that he's going to, you know, throw us out of the place, we're gonna lose our livelihood. And I didn't know what to do. And I was strong every time I said, no, don't touch me, don't come near me. So she said I had very beautiful blonde hair. And one time he came to me and he spoke again, and I was very weak at the moment and I didn't know what to do, and for a moment I hesitated, and he said, just let me touch your hair. And she said I allowed him to touch my hair, and then I cried and I ran away from him, and my brother and I were thrown off the farm. We were fired, and I felt so disgusted with myself. How could I do such a thing? How could I have been so weak? And because of that, as I grew up, I felt that I wasn't worthy. Hear this? I wasn't worthy to get married to anybody. What self-respecting Jewish man would take a girl like me that did such a thing? The Badishva was listening to this, and she, so he said, so what do you do? She says, well, my brother and I, we got other jobs. My brother's married and he helps me, and I work also. So the Badishva says, so what happened to your hair? She said, it made me sick, so I cut off all my hair. I don't have any hair. So the Badishva said, would you happen to have kept this hair? You know where this is going, right? Do you have this hair? So she said, I have the hair in a bag. So Badishva says, could I have it? She said, the rabbi said, just give it to me now. So she brought the hair to him, and he said, I'll bring this back. I have something to take care of. And he ran to the shul, and he goes up to the bima, and he says, no, Rabbi Shlalom, tefila, davening to get through this gezeira, I wasn't successful. I tried to wage a war, milchama, like Yaakov Inu Deser, right? I tried to make a milchama. I wasn't successful. Then he takes out from his coat this bag of blonde hair, and he puts it on the table. Can you imagine all the people looking at this? And the Badishva says, but such a dayan, such a gift. What do you say about this? And he put his talus over his head, and he was leaning down for a long time over this thing, and then he after a few minutes, he stood up and he said, "Or is it will have saved the Israelites?" Kol Nidre. Meaning that girl made a sacrifice. She judged herself so harshly. She was so hard on herself. And the Pedishiva saw such kedusha in her. It was, of course, unnecessary, and she didn't do anything wrong, and she made a mistake, and she was in such a matzav in her life, and what was she supposed to do? And she, adarabba, she was vayonis vayesa. She was mechazik herself, and she ran away from the parts. But she couldn't forgive herself for what she did. And the Bedichva saw in this an unbelievable gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was able to remove the darkness that was hovering over the community. This is where we're holding. This is our generation. I told you there are two stories. This one will take just a minute, and I'm sorry for keeping you. I don't know what this man is. I know the other shiurim, I don't have this space. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh used to tell the Chassidim about a certain tzaddik by the name of Rabbi Levoy, like the Maral's name is Rabbi Levoy, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Levoy. And they were fascinated by him. They didn't know who he was. And then the Baal Shem HaKadosh said that if you want today, I'm going to see Rabbi Levoy. If you want, you can come with me to a couple of the chavrim. So there's a group of Chassidim that they were so excited they're going to see this tzaddik. And they had to go for a long way. And they went with the Baal Shem, they went to this place, and they're in the woods, and they come to a place where there's a farm, and they're hiding behind some trees, and they see a Jew standing there with a talus cotton over his body, not even with a shirt. He's a farmer, and he's working on the field with a talus cotton over him. And the Baal Shem HaKadosh whispers to the Chassidim, he says, "That's Rabbi Levoy." So they're very nispal. They didn't expect him to look like that. They're very nispal, and he's working like this. And then a minute later, the Baal Shem says, "Quiet, wait." And a minute later, there's a Jew that walks over to him, and they're talking, they're schmoozing. They walks over to Rabbi Levoy, and the Baal Shem Tov whispers to the Chassidim, "That Jew is Eliyahu HaNavi." So guys are going out of their kelim. they didn't bargain for that, you know. The mamish is Eliyahu HaNavi. And then the Baal Shem Tov said to them the following, listen to this. The Baal Shem said, "Probably you think that Rabbi Levoy, because of his avoda, that he was zoicha for Gili Eliyahu. That he's zoicha for Gili Eliyahu. That Eliyahu came to him to reveal himself. You probably think that." Baal Shem HaKadosh says that's not what's happening. The emes is that Eliyahu HaNavi was zoicha, was given the schus to be allowed to come from Shemaim to meet Rabbi Levoy. Not that it was Gili Eliyahu. Eliyahu was zoicha to be able to meet Rabbi Levoy. And then the Baal Shem said, because in our times, already then, a Jew who is erlich, who's honest and God-fearing, and tries to raise his children to be good Jews, and tries to learn Torah every day, and to do mitzvahs, and to daven, and to put on tefillin, in our days, the Baal Shem said that such a Jew is worthy, not that he's worthy of Gili Eliyahu, but Eliyahu HaNavi and Shemaim is chalishing to meet such Jews. That he should have the privilege of being in the presence of such Jews. That's how Yom Kippur ends. With Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim with Eliyahu HaNavi. It begins with Rabbi Akiva, and it ends with Eliyahu HaNavi. Hashem should help each and every one of us. But we should be Zayichim as Hashem. We should be Zayichim as Hashem, of course, to do tshuva in a way that's real. Me'ahava, b'simcha. Tshuva b'simcha. Not chalila, not with atzus, not sad. But tshuva mitach simcha. Mamish mitach simcha. Like the holy Lulavah said, that you see the Jews have a habit of singing, what are you so happy about? I'm guilty, I'm a traitor, what are you singing? So he said, because it's not that we made a mess, but what a schus we have to be able to, the Baruch Shem says, come into the palace and clean things up and do it b'simcha, and you can sing a nigun while you're cleaning up. Hashem Baruch should help us to do tshuva mitach simcha, and we should be zeichet to come through this day, that's tomorrow night, to come. There's man simcha seinu, the ultimate simcha of Mishlei Rosh Simchas Beis Shoeva, like Rabbi Simcha Miyov with the Gula Shabbat Amitis, maybe Amen. 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 Amen